Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Thank you, everybody. Hit a little milestone here at episode number 50, halfway to 100. Thanks for following along and listening again. I've been working hard on that book, Hong Kong Supercharged, I mentioned before. It's over 150 pages now, still deep into writing all kinds of stuff about operating companies, case studies, examples. Hope people enjoy it. If people want to talk to me about it, I'd love to hear from you. It's my first time to write a book, and it's still too early to promise a release date. I just heard from Dimitri Prado from DonSign.tv. He sent me an email with some questions about Hong Kong company upkeep, and he has the following to say. I've been catching up with the podcast. I haven't had much free time lately. I wonder how you do it with a small baby smiley face. As I recently listened to GFA 33, episode 33, I love the episode. I got a lot of new information I couldn't have found anywhere else. As a matter of fact, most of the topics you pick are truly unique and normally pack a lot of info. Good job. Thank you, Dimitri. Appreciate you giving me that feedback. And yeah, I try to pick stuff that's maybe sometimes I feel like too niche, but that isn't being talked about, and I'm glad you enjoy. Hope everybody else does too. So now for today's show. It's the second part of a two-part series. We had Fionn from Bridges.hk on a couple weeks ago talking about opening Hong Kong companies and differences with offshore businesses. And we dig in today some details about bookkeeping and audits. I know I'm cringing on this. Nobody really likes talking about it or doing it, especially me. And listeners have been asking, and I even took a question from David Heuenberger at davidheuenberger.com. He asked me some specific questions. I added to the list so you can hear directly from Fionn. I'm glad she came back on the show, and also remember that she has a special discount for those interested in opening Hong Kong companies. It's a 1,000 Hong Kong discount from her normal price, and I also get a small commission, so I appreciate anybody that uses it. globalfromasia.com/bridges. Okay, and also after the interview, I do have some clarifications on terminology that even I got mixed up, so maybe some people got a little bit confused when we're talking about audits and inquiries and stuff. So I think I'm going to just clarify that after the interview. So let's listen in and learn together. Thank you guys for tuning in again, Global from Asia. We are a two-part series with Fionn from Bridges HK. Thank you again for being on the show.
Hi, I'm Fionn from Bridges Executive Center in Hong Kong. So I have been helping a lot of people to set up their business and also manage the company maintenance, including how to maintain the company and also how to manage for the accounting, auditing, and also for the taxations.
Thanks. So, you know, for the listeners, our first part show, it was really amazing information I learned from it. I'm sure you guys did too. So definitely listen first to the first show and then this show. But we're going to talk today about audits with a Hong Kong limited company and lots of different questions that I've been receiving from listeners. So it's going to be a lot of little details. So thanks so much, Fionn, for being on the show and sharing with us.
Sure. All of you are welcome, because I've been helping a lot of foreigners and also a lot of Hong Kong people to manage their business. I've been it's already for more than 10 years. So I've been dealing with a lot of Hong Kong's government departments, with the company registry and also with the Hong Kong Inland Revenue Department. So we know there are lots of difficulties that we need to tackle. So we also can share a lot of tips with you today.
Yeah, so these are some scary, even me to saying these words, I get nervous. But what is an audit in regards to a Hong Kong limited company? Maybe first we'll just define it.
Yes, actually for the Hong Kong limited company, so every year you need to file the profit tax return to the government, because they want to know whether you make profits or not, and then they can, to let you know whether you need to pay tax or not. So how they can understand whether your complete profit tax return is correct or not? So they need you to do the auditing, to audit the financial statement. So how to do it is, I would say when your company run for a period of time, then you need to prepare the accounting. Okay, you can do the accounting carried out by the professional firm, or you can do the accounting by yourself. So after you do the accounting, you will build a profit and loss account and the balance sheet. So with this kind of professional accounting record, built by no matter it's a professional people or prepared by yourself, then Inland Revenue Department would require you to find a professional auditor. We call it CPA, Certified Public Accountants, those who have the license, to audit your prepared account to see whether your account is running in a good way, in the professional way, in the way that government like it or not. So they will do the auditing. After the auditing is complete, then you can file your audit report together with the profit tax return to the Hong Kong government for their assessment use.
Clear. So it's a yearly thing. Is that first year is also you need to do it? Or maybe I'm wrong, but is there extra time on your first time?
So let me clarify for you. So basically, we will say you need to do the auditing every year, right? So every year you need to do it. But every year, which means which period of time? So you will have the question. First of all, after you set up the business, you can start to think of when do you want to cut off your first accounting or auditing. Most of the people in Hong Kong will cut off their report either end of December or end of March. These two periods is the most common one. Why? Because most of the people, they are the foreign people. Yeah, they have the business in other country. So most of them will cut off end of December to match up with their overseas business. And then why there is some people cut off end of March? Because for the Hong Kong fiscal year, is most of the thing cut off end of March. So if those people, they are more Hong Kong focused, then they will think that I want to cut off end of March to match up with the Hong Kong financial system, okay? But beside March or December, if you say, I'd like to cut off end of August, can I do so? You can do so as well. But why I did not recommend you, because if you cut off in two common months, end of December or end of March, you can enjoy a lot of benefits. First, you can enjoy the extension of time. You can enjoy around 6 months extension of time. But if you cut off end of August, end of July, you cannot enjoy this kind of benefits. So this is the first thing you need to decide which month. Okay, go back to the question. Then you will say, when I need to prepare my first audit? So because you design this kind of thing. So Inland Revenue will say that you need to cut off your first audit report within 18 months. For example, if I set up my company in July, then you can consider cut off your first audit report next year March or next year December, because it's still within 18 months, okay? However, if you set up the company this year June, so you cannot cut off your first audit report next year December, because it's already 19 months. So you need to cut off your first audit report this year December or next year March. Okay. After you design your first audit report, then you need to follow this rule every year. Every year December or every year March, then you need to prepare your audit.
Wow. Thank you so much. It's really...
Is this very complicated?
Seems a little bit, but it's helpful to have it just laid out like that.
And then one more thing is you may, besides prepare the homework, the audit report, then you may have the next question is when you will receive the first profit tax return. So after you do the business, you can keep on earning money, other things. In around 18 months, the Hong Kong government will issue the first profit tax return to you and ask you to report your profit status, your financial statement. So at that time, then you can complete the profit tax return to submit it together with your prepared first audit report to them.
Got it. Still kind of digesting it myself.
But you can listen again.
Yeah, I can rewind and listen. That's why it's really great for you, again, to be on the show. So actually, some of these questions are almost copy-pasted from some of our listeners. David is one of them, and he said, how much bureaucracy is involved in running a Hong Kong corporation? Accounting and audits are the bulk of it. Maybe, is that a clear question? Or he's just maybe saying, like, we all know it's really easy to open a Hong Kong company.
Correct.
Which I think is clear, like in our last show, we talked about it too. But I think the upkeep is where people have some misunderstandings, but what is really required to keep it going?
I think actually open up the Hong Kong company is very simple, easy, would not be difficult. Just 2 weeks time you can do so. And then every year you just need to renew your business registration license, and then you need to file, I think, few of the government forms only will not be difficult to do it. And then except for the accounting and auditing, you can do it by yourself, or you can find a professional firm to help help you to make sure all the data is correct. So I don't think this part will be difficult. But the accounting record, of course, I would suggest you it's much better to keep all the supporting documents ready, because may have chance that the inland revenue will ask you to provide the supporting document. After that, just simply pass it to the auditor to do the audit. I do think it will be very difficult. Yeah, but if you find any difficult, you can let me know. So I will let you know how to sort it out. I think for the Hong Kong accounting and auditing compared to other countries, it is quite simple, straightforward.
I'm happy with it. And so we have another example here. It's also from David. Is a friend's Hong Kong company got audited, and the company doing the audit told him he has to print out all of his receipts. So he had 40,000 receipts. And is that normal? And he said, I guess this is what he means by bureaucracy. So. Yeah.
Understand. So I think, Hong Kong is still quite traditional, I would say. A lot of things we want to see the paper on hand rather than the scanned document. It's still like that for the Hong Kong government. Just like a lot of tax filing, profit tax return, employer return, all the filing, they want to see the original document. Even some of the documents, they do not allow you to download from their website. They want you to use the original one. Mm. So always I need to post the original document to my client to sign, return back, and submit to the government. Yeah, they will have something like that. But we talk about back to the auditing. So Hong Kong government's recommend it's much better to print out all the things for the auditor to do the auditing. Make sure that all the things is the true copy. Especially, I think in the past, all the things is hard copy on hand. But I understand, I think from your friend, from your audience, I think maybe they are doing online business. Yeah. Actually, all the thing is online. Why I need to print it out? That's why I think, I would say a lot of auditors in Hong Kong now, they also accept the soft copy, make use of the soft copy to do the auditing already. It is not really compulsory, but we will say recommend to do so.
Got it. Yeah, because I think a lot of listeners obviously listening to the podcast, and they're a little bit more high tech, and they're traveling around Asia and around doing international business, and they use their credit cards, or they go to ATM. So another kind of clarification is a credit card statement, which has a transaction like this restaurant. It was, $200, or it says what it is. So you still need to have that receipt from the restaurant. Like I showed you my wallet, and I have like a bunch of receipts in there from bars and restaurants for my business purpose. I need to keep all of those.
I would say it's also recommend to do so as well, because although I note that a lot of bank, they will say you just keep the credit card bank statement will be enough, because supposing you should use the corporate credit card for all the business purpose only. But however, if possible, you can keep all the receipt is benefits to you as well, because we can make sure that, for example, you say that's correct for the restaurant, we can say it's an entertainment to have the dining with your clients. But however, some of the client, maybe they will use go to the supermarket to buy something. We are difficult to define the contents that you buy from the supermarket, whether it's for the business or not. So if you have the breakdown invoice, it will be much better. If there is something like maybe argument or maybe something need to check from the Inland Revenue Department, if you have the supporting document proof, that will be great. Yeah, because it's really difficult just based on that, to do the define. And also even for the restaurant, if you take a dinner, let's say, for example, that dinner is 1,000 US, for example. So we don't know which client that you go to dinner with them, whether the contents, what you eat, whether it's suitable for that event or not. This is something that we come across, have Inland Revenue have been checked on that. They said that because they would say that, why is 1,000 US? And then you told them that I just dining with one of the client, two people. Wow, two people, you eat 1,000. Is that true? Blah, blah, blah. So if you have the breakdown, that will be much better.
Yeah, I got it. So maybe I'll go to the ATM withdrawal, or I can maybe even call it petty cash. So, of course, especially in Hong Kong, you can use your credit card a lot of places, but sometimes in Southeast Asia, in you need to do some business and you have to, or in China, you need to pay in cash. So you need to take an ATM. Is that ATM withdrawal is not enough really? Or maybe it's a little bit of not totally clear answer, but how do you deal with like cash? You need to keep those receipts for all the transactions in that ATM withdrawal or?
Yeah, actually just like ATM withdrawal, you just draw out maybe $200. But what is the purpose? When we do the accounting, we need to book it back to say what's the purpose for. We are difficult to say you draw $200 is for stationery, for entertainment, for what kind of things. So normally for the ATM is okay, you can have all this record from your bank statement, but normally we will put it back as director drawing. If you are the director holding the ATM, normally it should not be your staff or go to draw out the money. So is the director drawing the money out? 200, 200, 200, draw out the money. And then I think for the director, they draw out 200. Maybe they use it for traveling, for by taxi or for other kind of thing. And then when you go by taxi or other thing, you will have the receipt again. So most of the ATM drawing, we will book it as the director drawing. That will be the most proper way.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, these are small things, but I think are helpful. So, again, I really thank you for this.
I think this is very common. I got quite a lot of clients. They would do so, just simply draw out the money to do something. But as I said, you draw out 200, you may not use 200 exactly on one item. So you will use on two items. It's difficult to book. So it's much better as a direct drawing only.
So we didn't talk about it too much, but there's talk about offshore. Well, we're talking about offshore companies like BVIs, but in for offshore transactions for a Hong Kong Limited, there's less tax or no tax if you can prove it's a transaction that's done outside of Hong Kong.
Yeah.
That's actually, how do you prove that or separate it or need to keep that separate in your accounting?
Yeah, I think nowadays in this few years, I think it may not be easy to prove this kind of things. Although in your bookkeeping record, you can do it. For these, you have 10 transactions, this 3 transaction is offshore, that 7 is Hong Kong. And then you may want to try to discuss with the Inland Revenue whether I can, tax exemption for that 3 transaction. I would say it's not impossible, but very difficult, because Inland Revenue will look at your whole operation. If your team is in, if you have office in Hong Kong, if your team is in Hong Kong, so normally we will think that your whole team deliver the service to those Hong Kong people and also maybe your offshore business. So to close that offshore deal may involve some of the Hong Kong resources, or maybe you send out the email from Hong Kong. Yeah, this kind of thing. So if you mix them together under one Hong Kong limited company, I would say you will face up quite a lot of challenge to how to deal with the Inland Revenue to request for the offshore of that part. So in case your business involves quite a lot of offshore things, I would suggest the client to separate their business. Hong Kong, involve Hong Kong things, use the Hong Kong limited company. If your business is involved offshore, make it clear, go to the offshore company. No need to create a lot of question or challenge from the Inland Revenue Department.
Okay, that's really good advice. So currency, of course, we're in Hong Kong and we have Hong Kong dollars, but we a lot of times receive US dollars or other currency. How do you handle that? Or, you know, in the accounting or auditing, just keep that receipt in euro or in dollars or the invoice in dollars?
Just keep it, will not be difficult. I think if you have, of course, if you do that transaction, do that deal at that date, if you have day currency exchange rate, you can mark it down in your invoice or receipt there. Then for the accountants, they will book it like that. If not, there's many flexibility. You can base on the monthly, that month, the exchange rate, or maybe just use one flat rules to do it. So for the whole year, you use that exchange rate. Would not be very difficult. See how you define on that only.
Mm. So my next one is, I've had a Hong Kong Limited now for 7 years. It's in 2007. I haven't been audited yet. I'm crossing my fingers. I hope I don't. But maybe it's hard to know. But how does the government decide which companies to audit? Is there a way, or do you think there's any way you could share, or is it just random? Or
so, do you receive the profit tax return every year? No.
Yeah.
Every year you receive the profit tax return?
I file every year my
profit tax return.
Yeah.
Okay. I think for a limited company, supposing every year you will receive for the profit tax return, okay, for a limited company, and then you need to file to the government every year. So, supposing when you file the profit tax return, you need to file together with the audit financial statement, unless maybe your company is quite a dormant company or the transaction is turnover is quite low, then you can skip for the audit report at that time, and the government may not be asked you, okay?
Okay.
And also, if you file your audit with your profit tax return to say that it's a dormant company, then if the government find that, oh, you are the dormant company, so you may have chance 2 to 3 years do not require to file the profit tax return. They will say that, oh, you are dormant, you do not earn any profit, so until you earn profit, you let me know, then you file the profit tax return. So for a few years, they will not send you the profit tax return. But once you earn profit, you need to report to them immediately. You need to file immediately.
Okay, I guess what I mean with the audit is the government questions something and they say that they want you to prove. That's what I mean by audit.
Okay, understand.
Like so I file every year. Maybe that's what I wasn't clear. I mean when in the U.S. audit means they question you. So what I mean by audit is the Hong Kong government says, hey, we want you to prove this. We don't understand, or we want more information, or we want. That's what I mean. So I haven't had that happen to me. They haven't asked me any questions. I just file it. I don't have a lot. My business isn't so big, so maybe that's why. I don't know if it's size or I don't know how they decide who.
You are normal. It's good. You are doing a good job. That's why they do not have previous letter to you.
Yeah, but like I said, there's some. I've been doing this show and I'm getting more people contacting me. It's like I'm getting nervous myself.
Too nervous for you. I think it's quite normal. I think most of the business will not receive the inland revenue, or we call it previous letter.
Yeah, this is what I mean.
So they will not have the previous to you. It's quite normal unless they have question on your prepared audit. They find that it's for example, some of the business they have been won for 3 or 5 years, many years, okay? But they are still making a great loss. Then they may have chance that inland revenue will send out the courier's letter to ask you, why your businesses keep on making loss, but you still want to run your business for 5 years already? Mm. But your type of industry, supposing should be 1 year and then could be break even, then they may send you the courier's letter. Or else, just like what you have been just asked me. So for that business, they want to tell the inland revenue, I have 30% of my business is offshore. I want to say that 30% of my profit, I want to claim the tax-free. Then if you have this request, inland revenue will send you the previous letter immediately to ask you why can you provide a supporting document. So you have running a very good business, you are having a very proper filing, then no questions to ask you is good and normal.
Okay, so maybe that's what I mean. The word is query letter.
Yeah.
Then you'll get if something like that happens, you'll get a letter and they'll ask for some or all. I mean, I think that's what I think. Maybe I wasn't clear at the beginning. He had to give all of his receipts, which was 40,000 pages at the beginning of the show, because of a query. So he says that his accountant made him print everything.
To the Hong Kong government.
Yeah.
But once the Hong Kong government requests you, then you must provide the printout of all the supporting documents. That's true. They will not accept all the communication with the inland revenue. You need to print out the things for them. You are not. They will not accept you. Just email the supporting documents to them.
Wow. Okay. So I think that's what happened to this listener or his friend. He had a query letter, and then he had to print out all of the everything.
Yeah. They are questioning you, whether you have record all the things properly. Yeah.
Okay.
That's true. You need to print out all the things. Yeah.
Okay.
If it is asked by the Hong Kong government Inland Revenue Department, yes, you need to print out all the things.
Okay. Mm. So then maybe I know you can't disclose your client's information. I'm not, but if there's some examples or stories that you'd like to share of some of these query letters, has anything happened that you know of?
I think a lot of foreign people, they are most interested to know, like for the offshore business. So if you, once you came for the offshore, not talking about 30% of your sales income, most of my client will say 100% of my sales income is not in Hong Kong. But maybe at that time, they set up the Hong Kong Limited Company, but finally all the operation is not here. So they want to do the 100% offshore claim. Of course, most of my client can do it successfully, no problem. But however, once you inform in-name revenue like that, then they will send you the letter. So once you receive the letter, you will find that there will have 30 questions, 40 questions. It is very common. Don't expect only one or two questions or maybe within 10 questions. Normally, we'll have 30 or 40. Then they will ask you a lot of supporting documents, like they would like, they're interested to know, are you always come to Hong Kong? Are the director living in Hong Kong, working in Hong Kong? And then they may also interested to know, where do you close that deal? That 20,000 sales turnover, that deal, how you close it? Are you email communication with them? Are you closing the deal in Hong Kong? Yeah, they will ask all this kind of question. And also, just like if you are the foreigner, you seldom come to Hong Kong, but maybe you come to Hong Kong 3 times per year, then they may also dread, why you come here that 3 times? Are you coming here for business dealing, or you just go to Disneyland, or where do you go? They want to understand all these kind of small details. You need to provide all the supporting documents. I face up, just like today, I got a client. He told me that he really want to do the offshore claim because he gained quite a high profit. But however, he lost most of the document. So that's why I told him the chance will be quite low. Because you can't provide a supporting document, then in-name revenue will not trust on you. Yeah, so you need to deal with this kind of thing. And for the offshore claim, frankly speaking, it normally lasts for quite a long time. Yeah, maybe 3 months, 6 months, or even 9 months to have this come up with the final results.
Okay. Well, thank you again. I just hope I don't get a query letter.
I don't think so. Many years already.
Yeah. And so, well, I think we covered a lot here. Maybe I always like we did last show too, with a tip for Hong Kong business owner that is thinking about these query letters and audits. I mean, I think we already kind of talked about it, but what would you suggest them from the beginning?
I would say the most important is prepare, well organize all your document, all the sales transaction, all the things in and out, please keep all the receipt. Just like what you say, your client, yeah, suddenly in-name revenue asks you for the supporting document you must provide. And also actually for the Hong Kong auditor, accounting and auditor, they need to see all the supporting documents as well. I find there are lots of new entrepreneurs, they forgot all the things.
Yeah. So like in a folder monthly or yeah. how to organize it?
Depends on you. You can monthly to separate all your billing or maybe by category for traveling, for entertainment, for sales income, all the things. So remember to have a proper filing. This is very important to help you. Yeah.
Okay, great. And, I'm really impressed with our interview today. And if those wanting to contact you or your services, share how?
Yes, you can look for me. I'm Fionn. My name is Fionn. My last name is Sen, S-E-N. Okay, so if you have any questions, you can, first of all, you can visit our website. Our website is www.bridges.hk. Bridges is B-R-I-D-G-E-S. Okay, .hk, because we are focusing our business in Hong Kong. Or else you can feel free to email to me. My email address is Fionn, F-I-O-N, _, and then my last name, S-E-N, @bridges.hk. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And we'll link that up on the blog notes too. So yeah, thank you. Sure. And that's a wrap. So as I said at the beginning, there might have been some miscommunication and misunderstandings about what an audit is and the inquiries and how, you know, filing. I think the mix-up just comes from all these different countries and different ways of filing. I'm going to put a free PDF comparison for you to download on globalfromasia.com/episode50 to download it for free. Just opt in. And so just give you a quick overview if you don't have a chance to download it. In America, for instance, we don't need audited accounts if we're a small business under a certain number of revenue, but we could get an audit request from the IRS to give more detailed questions and answers about what happened. That's happened to me a couple of times, to be honest. So in Hong Kong, the way it works is you have to submit audit no matter how big your transaction or your revenues are. So you have to use a CPA, a certified public accountant, or an accountant, that's what a lot of people call it, that has a license to do that. And they check over your accounts and your books and either help you file it, or you do it, or you still need them to kind of check it over. So everybody needs to do it. So I think that's a difference as well. And then there's an inquiry. An inquiry is when the government or the tax department asks you to prove something or they question something. And then that's, I think, where some of these people talk about, like, providing thousands of receipts and paperwork. And inquiry is where that will happen, and they'll question and want proof of what happened. So I'm afraid to jinx myself, but it hasn't happened to me yet. And I don't know friends that have told me that that's happened to. So you just maybe got to be a little bit maybe clear with your bookkeeping and your audit, and work closely with your accountant to make sure it goes smoothly. I hope I didn't bore everybody to death. Sometimes I feel like some of these podcasts talking about bank accounts and merchant accounts and like accounting and filing is kind of dry. I hope it was fun. I hope you guys learned. I know it's a pain point for a lot of listeners, and I think we might have to do more shows in the future, just talk about different angles or maybe some examples, or maybe somebody's willing to talk about their inquiry with the Hong Kong Tax Department. They could share their process, which sounds kind of painful. And so see you next week. We're going to have John Wintermeyer from Payment Wall, a merchant account in the U.S., and they really are strong in international merchant accounts. And he said that Hong Kong companies have no problem getting it set up. So we're going to talk about that, and we're also going to learn a lot about how the industry merchant accounts works. He's very knowledgeable, and regardless of whether you choose his service or not, I think you're going to learn a lot. And it's just to get more people learning about how all these international business things work. Again, like some listeners say, it's stuff I can't find online. So if you're not bored to death, I hope to catch you next week. Bye-bye.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.